Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
You know that right now you are sitting next to, looking at the back of, and looking up at the most amazing work of creation ever designed. Do you ever think about what an amazing piece of machinery the human body really is? Let me tell you for just a minute what will happen in your body in just a minute's time. In just a minute, you will take 15 to 25 breaths. With each breath, your lungs are getting rid of carbon dioxide, which your body doesn't need, while converting oxygen that your body does need and will use to clean your blood. Right now, your stomach is digesting that donut that you had for breakfast and converting it into energy your body can use. Acids and enzymes are eating away at the surface of the foods that you ate to start breaking it down. And then food molecules are being taken into your blood vessels. Once the food is in your blood, it can travel almost anywhere in your body. Right now, there are 10 trillion cells broken up into 200 different types, each performing their respective duties in your body. 100,000 of the cells in your body will die and be replaced by the time I finish this sentence. It just happened right there. In 1 minute, you'll probably blink about 25 times. If you've been making out the whole time, you burned about 26 calories. If you thought that was funny, it took about 17 muscles for you to form a smile on your face. And if you didn't, it took about 43 muscles for you to make a frown. See, people, it takes more energy to be sad. Be happy. Sorry. And that is just the tip of the iceberg. All that and countless other functions are going on in your body every minute of every day. But try to think of another machine that runs 24 hours a day without ever shutting down, changes shape and size over time, not always for the better, has the ability to repair itself when it breaks, and can even reproduce itself when necessary. The body really is an amazing creation. In fact, why don't you turn to the person sitting next to you right now and just say to that person, you are an amazing creation. And a new pickup line was born that day at Verve. Feel free to use that one out in the streets or wherever you go. Now, add on top of all that you are also a unique and individual creation. From your fingerprints down to your tongue print, there is no one like you. You are absolutely unique. It really is an amazing thing. And today we're going to talk about our bodies, about building physical reserves. And I just have to be honest right up front. This feels really weird to me for two reasons. The first is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Part of the reason I'm doing this is to publicly shame myself in front of you all. Seriously, I've never in my life spoken on anything that I do perfectly. I don't do anything perfectly. But typically, what we talk about, I've taken a couple steps in the right direction. So if you were to follow my example would not be perfect, but you would be moving in the right direction by following my example. With what we're talking about today, I have taken more wrong steps in my life than right. And so if you were to follow my example, that would not be such a good idea, and that makes me a hypocrite. And I apologize for that. Like seriously, that's not a cool thing. But I'm taking this seriously as well. I'm more preaching to myself today than to you. And just to prove to you how serious I am, I brought a temptation. So I brought with me a delicious-looking cupcake. And I'm just going to put it up here and not eat it. But just to be tempted and show you that I'm serious and I'm going to overcome this temptation while I speak to you, okay? So the first reason I feel weird about this is hypocrisy. The second is because it just doesn't seem quite spiritual, does it? I mean, at Verve, we talk about spiritual things, and talking about your body and stuff like that, it just doesn't sound quite spiritual, but actually, it is. It really is. In fact, what I want to do is I want to do a kind of a quick Bible study with you, and I want to show you a bunch of times in the Bible where the Bible clearly shows us that God cares about our bodies, what we put into them, what we do with them, all of that. And so we're going to put all the verses on the screen so you can follow along up there. We're going to look at a bunch of them. So starting in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus is speaking. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And so God's saying, I want you to love me, but not just with the unseen spiritual parts of who you are. I want you to love me with your physical bodies as well. In a book called Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so in that passage, God is saying, listen, your physical body should be a living sacrifice to me. You should offer it to me and to my use all the time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4 says, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. And so this is saying, listen, God's not only concerned with your spirit and your soul, but also with your body and what you do with your body. And so you should live in a kind of blameless way with your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13, the Bible says, the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And so it's saying, listen, your physical body is meant for God, and the purpose of your body is to bring glory to God. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And so this verse says that your body is very important because it is the home of God. In the Old Testament, back in those times, there was a physical building called a temple, and it was believed that that was the place where God lives. And so people were really into the temple because, man, that's where God lives. But in the New Testament, we learn that, no, God lives in us. So like in the Old Testament, in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1, it says, then King David said to the whole assembly, so all the people who worship God were gathered, and he says, my son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. They're about to build the great temple for God. And if you continue reading in that chapter in the next few, you will be amazed at how fastidious, how careful they were about every aspect of this building. And the reason was, it's the home of God. This is where God lives. And so we need to be careful with it. But then in the New Testament, we learn that, no, it's not in buildings made by man that God lives. It's in us. It's in people. So we need to honor God with our bodies. And then there's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. It says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness is value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So that verse says physical training is of some value. It's not worthless. It's not unimportant. It has value. And so you see, this is a spiritual topic. God cares about your body. In fact, if you study the life of Jesus, one thing you'll notice is that he spent about one-third of his time healing people's physical bodies. God cares about our bodies. He cares about what we do with them, what goes into them, all of that. And you know what? It's not just that God cares about our bodies, so we should care about our bodies, because if God cares about them, we should care. Although that is certainly true. But this topic also has tremendous implications for every other aspect of our lives, for our entire lives. So we're in this series the last 2 weeks called Room to Breathe. And what we've been talking about is margin. When you write on a piece of paper, if you type on a piece of paper, you leave margins on the top and the bottom and on the sides. When you leave margins, it allows you to read what's on that paper a lot easier. Without margin, it becomes very difficult to read what's on paper. And not only that, when you leave margins, you can add something later, right? You think this is all that's going to go on that paper, but later you realize you need to put a note on there or something. You've got space to do that. And what we've been discovering is, in the same way, our lives need margin. right? We need to leave some space in our lives so that it's easier to live, and so that when we need to, when we're forced to, we can add things. So last week, we talked about the fact that we need time margin. We can't plan out all of our time because we'll end up going right off the page. And what happens is when we start living that way, if I don't have margin, man, inevitably something's going to happen that's going to throw me into chaos or depression or stress or anxiety. I'll end up missing important priorities in my life. So we need margin, and we need it physically as well. We need it physically as well. We need to build physical reserves into our lives. And if not, our lives start slipping off the page. All kinds of bad results will follow. One is, I won't be able to fully live life. I can't fully serve God. I can't fully love my family or do my job because I'm just not running on all cylinders. I just don't have all the energy I need to physically. Not only that, but I'll get sick more. Do you ever notice that every year, I think like every single year, people say, oh man, this is the worst flu season ever. Worst flu season ever. Maybe that's because every year we're creating less physical margin. And if we have no physical reserves, then we're going to get knocked down by one little flu virus. And people will say, the flu is going around. But what's really going around is not taking care of our bodies. You tell them, you hypocrite. Who said that? Man, this is bad. And if we create margin by building physical reserves, not only won't we be able to live on all cylinders, but and get sick more often, but we're also going to die sooner. We'll die sooner. Do you know that worldwide, currently, more people die from problems related to obesity than related to hunger and starvation? That's crazy, and that's true. Did you know that the Journal of American Medical Association reported that poor diet and physical inactivity caused 400,000 deaths in the year 2000, which was a 33% jump over 1990? It's crazy. The top three causes of death in 2000 were tobacco use, which accounted for 18.1% of deaths, poor diet and physical inactivities, which was 16.6% of deaths, and alcohol consumption, which was 3.5%. And too many of us know this personally. Like we can think of a person in our lives, a loved one who died because of something to do with physical intake. And here's the deal. We don't want to become that person. Right? We don't want to be the person someone thinks of and says, oh yeah, and they're thinking of us someday because we died because of that. When I don't build physical reserves, and I don't, it dishonors me, and it dishonors God. And so we need to start asking ourselves some hard questions. I do. One question is, where did we learn to live this way? Like, where did we develop these habits? For some of us, it's probably our family. Like, I grew up like this, and I lived the way I grew up. For others of us, maybe it was in college. Now, I can't tell you how many nights in college, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and for some reason, like two-day-old nachos made perfect sense to me. It's like, yes. And I would go to sleep at 3:30 or 4. I would get up like 7 minutes before class started. I would run to class, and I would stay awake all day on a steady stream of like Skittles and Mountain Dew, you know, because I was so tired, right? And that's why college is only supposed to last for 4 years. But some of us continue to live that way, and we can't. We can't keep living that way. We need to ask ourselves some hard questions. Where did we learn to live this way? And what are some of the things that maybe I'm doing too much of? What are some of the things I'm doing too much of? You know, a lot of us regularly do things that are obviously self-destructive. Just think about that word for a minute, self-destructive. It's you're doing something that you know will destroy yourself. It's like who in their right minds will do something to destroy themselves? But that's the way a lot of us are living. We're destroying ourselves with things like nicotine, caffeine, alcohol, narcotics, junk food, things that hold little or no value but have tremendous potential to destroy ourselves. And we have a God who loves us and is trying to lead us to a better life. That's why he cautions us against these kind of things. So like there's a verse in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, that says, do not get drunk. It's not because God's some kind of killjoy and didn't want you to have fun weekends. It's because God loves us and he says, hey, I want to steer you away from behavior that's just going to destroy you. And so what are you doing too much of physically? Did you know that 200 years ago in our country, people ate on average 2 pounds of refined sugar per year per person? And the figure is now 150 pounds of refined sugar per person. Refined sugar. Okay, no. Did you know that Gallup did a poll and they asked smokers, people who smoke, do you think that smoking is bad for your health? Is it harmful to you? 95% of smokers said, yes, I believe that it's harmful to my health. Do you know that 71% of Americans are considered overweight or obese? And there I am in there. So who in their right minds does something to destroy themselves, right? What kind of person in their right mind will do things physically that lead to physical destruction? The answer is no one, right? No one in their right mind would do that, but a lot of us don't have right minds when it comes to what we're doing too much of physically. Check out this verse in the Bible. So it says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. And so the idea is God gives us freedom. God is not about taking away our freedom. We have freedom to do things, but not everything we can do is good for us. Right? Just because we can do something doesn't necessarily mean we should. And there are some things that if we do them, we tend to become slaves to them. And so we shouldn't. Check out another verse in the Bible, Philippians chapter 3, verse 19. It says, their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. It says their God is their stomach. See, here's the deal. When you have a God, when you choose someone, something to be your God, that's your Lord, right? You listen to it. If you truly choose to make something your God, well, then that's your master, right? What it says, you do. And the problem is that some of us have chosen to live with our stomachs, that verse says, as our gods. And so it's like you see that second piece of cheesecake on the table and you think, nah, I shouldn't eat 2 pieces. But then our God says, feed me. Right? I want that cheesecake. And you're like, no, God, I shouldn't. And it's like, put the cheesecake in my mouth. Feed me. And you're like, no. It's like, obey me. Or you think, man, I think I'm not going to go out to the bar this weekend. That's probably not a good idea for me. And your God says, I want beer. And you're like, no, God, I think not. Put beer in my mouth. No, God, you're just so demanding. Child sacrifice. Choose one of your kids. I don't know. That God is weird. I don't know what happened there. Now, some of you may have made your God your stomach, but your God talks different to you. Because you think, oh, I'm going to eat something for breakfast, and your God says, no, I want to be skinny. And you're not going to eat breakfast. And you kind of say, no, God, you are skinny. And your God says, no, I'm not skinny enough. And you don't eat. And obviously, none of this is funny, which is why that verse says their end is destruction, right? It's a path you don't want to be on. I need to not be on. If your God is your stomach, whether it demands food or rejects food, whether it wants too much alcohol or has you enslaved to whatever it is, that's a path that leads to destruction. And so we need to change. I need to change. We need help. We need to ask ourselves hard questions. Where did I learn to live this way? What are the things that I'm doing too much of? What are the things that I'm not doing enough of? What are the things I'm not doing enough of? For some of us, it's exercise. We don't do that enough. I don't know how familiar you are with the Bible. Do you know how much the Bible talks about exercise? Very, 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 very little. Do you know why? Because it wasn't necessary. Because people back then lived lives where they had aerobic activity just built into their lives. They worked their fields. They walked from place to place. They didn't have cars. And so they were always exercising. And our world has changed. Right? Or maybe not in some other place in the world, but our world has changed. And so we live in a place where we do need exercise. We don't walk, right? We don't walk to work. I don't have to walk anywhere. In fact, I've been thinking about putting one of those airport moving sidewalk things from my front door to my driveway so I can just stand on it instead of walking to my car. Just thinking about that, maybe. Right? We don't have to walk anywhere, but we need exercise. Our bodies need to be used. In fact, they've done all kinds of studies of this, and what they've learned is that our bodies are designed to best function when we're doing manual labor for 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, and resting on a seventh. Like, that's the best your body can do. Under those circumstances, your body doesn't survive, it will thrive. And some of us, what we're not doing enough of is exercise. For others of us, maybe what we're not doing enough of, maybe this is you, is sleep. We don't rest enough. Rest is actually an important thing to God. God talks about rest a lot in the Bible. In fact, you're probably familiar, there are these Ten Commandments in the Bible that God was creating this society way back when, and he was helping them to know how to live. So he gives them these Ten Commandments to be kind of the foundational way that they're going to live their lives, and one of them is to rest. Isn't that something? Like, God's only 10. It's not like there's 450. 10 things that God wanted to make sure they did. And one of them was, hey, you need to get enough rest. And you need to use that time to focus on me. It's interesting, though, because people think we can ignore that commandment. Like, any halfway serious Christian wouldn't ignore any of the other commandments, right? Like, none of us would go, don't murder. Like, I'm really angry with him. God wasn't serious about that one. I'm going to kill him. Right? We wouldn't say that. We wouldn't go, adultery, I don't think God cares about that. It's in there. But with rest, it's like, dude, I'm busy. Like, it's in there. We're supposed to take a day off and rest and worship. God doesn't understand. I'm really busy. God chose only 10 commandments that we should follow. And in the New Testament, Jesus comes along and he says, hey, don't be legalistic about following that. But do follow it. And don't be legalistic in how you live it out, but we do need to live it out. And some of us are not doing that enough. There's a verse in the Bible in Psalm 127, verse 2, and it says this. It says, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for God grants sleep to those he loves. It's like you are working and working and working, but you need to sleep. And some of us are not doing that enough. Did you know that it's estimated that 24,000 people die every year in car accidents caused by sleep deprivation? If we don't get enough sleep, we can die. And probably most of us won't die, but we will not fully live life. We will not be able to do our jobs at full capacity. So on Tuesday, I was at the airport. And I'm sitting at the airport in the gate. And this is a true story, and I'm waiting for my plane to be called up, you know, and I've got headphones on, and I got, like, noise-canceling headphones, so I can't hear anything anyone's saying, and I'm working on my computer, and there's people talking around me, like, I can see mouths moving, but I can't hear anything, and then I start hearing this really loud, metallic, squawky kind of voice, which is weird, because I can't hear anything. It has to be really loud for me to hear it, but I hear, like, this, it sounds like, and I'm like, man, that is really loud. I don't know how I can hear it. And you could tell it was coming from a speaker. And so I thought maybe, like, somebody had, like, their iPhone, like, fully up, and they're watching some really weird video. So I just keep typing. And then I noticed out of the corner of my eye, this lady was looking over, I think, at me, and she was laughing. And I'm like, that's weird. And I just keep typing. And then I look over here, and I see this couple, and they're looking over my direction, and they're both laughing. And I'm like, oh, no. And so I stopped typing, and I'm thinking, it's me. Like, I must be the one making this noise. Maybe I butt-dialed somebody, and somebody's yelling into my phone, Vince, you know what? I'm like, what's happening? And so I take off my headphones to figure out how I'm the one making this noise, and I hear the noise, and it's like, Fred, are you in section 4? Fred, where are you? And I look to my right, and there is a airport security guard, like, gun in his holster. He's got to be 65 years old, who has sat down right next to me, like, we're arm to arm, and he has fallen asleep. And he's sitting there snoring. And so he's like, and he's got his walkie-talkie around his neck, and this lady is yelling to him, "Fred, where are you? We need you in section 4 or something." And everyone's laughing at him, not me, thankfully. And I'm thinking, should I maybe just slip his gun out and like, "Fred, you want this?" I don't know. But that dude obviously was not getting enough sleep. And a lot of us aren't getting enough sleep. For others of us, what we're not doing enough of is we're not eating healthy. Back in Bible times, foods were all natural. They didn't have additives. They didn't have preservatives. They didn't have cupcakes. I don't know how they lived. But for us, our calorie intake has gone way up. We're taking in all kinds of empty calories with no nutritional value, and we're expending a lot less calories because we don't walk anywhere. And what we're not doing enough of is we're not eating enough healthy food, the natural stuff that God made. Now, listen, if you combine those two things, like what we're doing too much of, whatever it is for you and me, taking in nicotine, taking in too much alcohol, taking in too much junk food, whatever it is, and the things that we're not doing enough of, exercise, sleeping, eating healthy, we got problems. I've got problems. We're maxed out physically. And what happens is we go to the edge of the page, and then we go off the page. And, you know, and we've got nothing to reach back for physically. We're just expended. We've gone over our limit, and we've got no reserves. And many of us are living our lives without physical reserves because of that. And we may hardly be living. Right? We're living in a danger zone. So let me talk to you about some suggestions for what you can do if that's you. What do you do if you're in this place where, you know, like me, you need to take some steps in the right direction? Some practical suggestions for building physical reserves in your life. First, go up one notch. Just go up one notch. So what I mean is just take one step in the right direction. Don't make, you know, goals that are just impossible to reach and are going to depress you because you're like, "I don't know if I can do it." So like if you normally drink 3 Cokes a day, make a decision you're only going to drink 2. If you normally drink 30, maybe cut back to 20, you know. Or make a decision, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to eat food after dinner. Like that's going to be the last time I eat in a day. Or if I'm going to eat after dinner, it's only going to be something healthy. Like I'm only going to do healthy snacks. Or start going to bed just 30 minutes earlier. I'm just going to change my bedtime by 30 minutes. You know, just take one step in the right direction. Second, do the simple things the hard way. Do the simple things the hard way. So let me give you an example. I used to go to the gym, obviously not lately, and it opened at 6:30. I got there at 6:30, and there were actually a lot of people who would all get there at 6:30, right when the gym opened. And the funny thing was, all these people would fight over the closest spaces, the closest parking spots to the gym. Like, they would all be kind of racing for the closest spots. Like, let's just process that for 1 minute. So we all got up early, and we're going to the gym at 6:30 to work out, and we're fighting for the closest spot so we don't have to walk the extra 12 feet from the further spot. Wow. Like, hello, right? And so let's learn from their insanity. Make a commitment to do the simple things the hard way. So just choose. I'm going to always park in a faraway space. I'll leave the closer ones for somebody who needs, you know, somebody older than me or something, and I'll get a little bit of exercise. Or walk up the stairs instead of taking the elevator. Note to self, cancel moving sidewalk order for front yard. Yes. Third, treat your body as a gift. Your body is a gift from God. And that means two things. First, it's valuable. And we treat things that are important with respect, right? If we buy a new car, we take care of it because it's like a new car. It's valuable, right? And so your body is a gift, so treat it right because it's important. And it's a gift that doesn't belong to you. When you are in the care of someone else's possession, you treat it better, right? If it's yours, you might be like, "I don't care," right? But when it's somebody else's possession, like, you treat it better, you protect it because it's not yours. And you may not think this way, you may not realize this, but according to the Bible, you are not your own. Your body belongs to God. It may be like, "Whoa, that's weird" to some of you, but that's what the Bible says. That's what God thinks. And so it's a gift that doesn't belong to you, and so it's God's, and we need to protect it. I need to protect it. Fourth, take it to God. So God is the gift giver. God's the owner. God is also the source of healing. God has power that I don't have. And so the truth is self-help and diet plans can help. They totally can, but only so much. And sometimes we need power beyond ourselves, beyond what we can help ourselves with. And so ask God. He cares about this, and so ask him for help. I'm going to ask God for help. And fifth, take it to a friend. Get someone who you know loves you and cares about you, and go to them and say, hey, can you pray for me with this? Can you keep me accountable? So here's what I'm going to do. To show you I'm serious about this, and since you guys are all my friends, I'm going to ask for your accountability. I'm going to lose 10 pounds between now and 4 weeks from today, and I'll lose another 5 in the next 4 weeks after that. You can ask me. If I don't do it, you can punch me in the face or whatever you think is proper punishment for me not doing my commitment. But I'm going to lose 10 pounds in the next 4 weeks, 5 pounds in the 4 weeks after that. You can all hold me accountable. Maybe some of you need to make a commitment. Maybe you don't want to get up on stage and tell everyone your commitment. It's a little stupid. But maybe you need to go to your microgroup this week if you're in one of those, and which are groups of like 4 or 5 people that hang out together during the week and share life and encourage each other and say, hey, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to sleep 30 minutes earlier. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do snacks anymore. Whatever it is for you, that one step or two that you're going to take, maybe get some accountability because that helps. All right. I'm going to get off your case. I'm going to get off my case. I'm the one who's hating this the most. Trust me. But one last thing before we're done. Just one thing. For some of you, I am singing your song today. You are like, yes, finally. This church is 4 years old. He's never talked about any of this. And thank you. And this is the one area I do good in. Like, usually I'm like, oh, man, I need to. This is like one area I'm good at this. So thank you. Okay, great. That's really good. I'm really glad that you have this area covered. I don't. I need your help. But that's good. But I want you to look back at this verse we saw earlier, 1 Timothy 4:8. It says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And so it says, yes, physical training does have some value, but godliness, training in godliness, is of supreme value. And it is true that a lot of us don't pay enough attention to our bodies, to building physical reserves. But my concern is that some of us may pay too much attention to our bodies and not nearly enough to building ourselves up spiritually. And so it's like you're in the gym every morning, but you're in the Bible just about never. And you're out running every day, but you're like walking with God very rarely. And it's really good that you have the physical thing down. Don't lose that. Don't walk away from that. But at the same time, don't get so focused on this that you miss out on what's most important. Here's my hope. My hope is that in this journey that we're all on, that we will learn together as we do this, that all of this actually should go like hand in hand, that all of life is spiritual. This is not about like checking things off a to-do list. Like I don't want you to think, oh, I didn't know. I didn't know that your body and all that stuff was important to God. I'll put that on the list, and I'll start trying to do better with that one. That's a new item on my checklist. That's not it. It's that God cares about everything because God loves you. And so he cares about every area of your life. All of life is spiritual. It doesn't divide up into compartments like a TV dinner. All of life is spiritual. God cares about all of it. And really, you start to realize it's all integrated. It's all integrated. So like if you want to grow spiritually, one of the things that can help you do that is take better care of yourself physically. And if you want to take better care of yourself physically, one of the ways you can do that is to grow spiritually. See, God wants to guide us in this journey of life, and he wants to lead us to a place of wholeness, where it's all working together, to a place that the Bible calls abundant life. Jesus said, I have come because I want to lead you to abundant life, to a full life, and then eventually to eternal life. to a paradise with God that you and I, and we can't even imagine right now. And some of the first steps in that journey is starting to get some order in our lives, starting to create some margin in our lives so that we can have room to breathe. So let's pray for that right now. I am so glad this is done. Let's pray together. God, this is not a fun one for me. I considered changing the topic about 50 times because I really do feel like a hypocrite, and hopefully the people in this room can forgive me for that, and hopefully I will apply what I have said today. God, I pray that you would teach all of us that it's not about, you know, dividing our life up into areas and saying, okay, I'm going to work on this area now, but just realizing, man, all of it matters, and all of it is spiritual. It all matters to you because you love us so much. And so, God, would you help us to look at life that way and to turn to you and turn to some friends to get help in areas that we do need to grow physically? And so if there's some things we're doing too much of or not doing enough of, would you help us to see what those are and to help us to take some steps in the right direction? God, thanks for loving us no matter how bad we've screwed up, no matter how bad we're doing in any part of life. Thanks that you have grace and you love us unconditionally with your perfect love. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.